Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
A wine cellar, a child pageant queen, an unsolved murder. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Something for you.
I'm ready.
It's pretty exciting.
I'm ready to be excited.
So I first and foremost, I was very into like true crime stuff as a kid. And then I kind of like bled into ghost stuff, supernatural, then more like haunted history. I feel like it went from like kind of more specific to general. But
you're back.
I'm back, baby.
Back in the saddle.
I'm here. I'm ready to go. We're moving forward. But this is a special one because I was thinking about what episode I wanted to do, and this will come out on the 19th, which will give you a lot of time right before Christmas. There's a lot of like Christmas-themed murders.
Yeah.
But this one is very, very close to my heart because I feel like we watched it unfold. Like, it was one of the first things that I ever was kind of conscious of happening on a national level.
And then 24-hour TV is well full in effect at this time.
Yes, absolutely. So like, this is the
90s. Coverage is nonstop.
Absolutely. So today I'm going to talk about 755 15th Street in Boulder, Colorado, the JonBenet Ramsey House. Yeah! It's pretty fucking great.
Yeah.
It's also like, it's so picturesque. Like, there's so many things that are happening in the story. Every detail is so interesting and juicy. It's not like, oh, there's like a bunch of bullshit. It's like, no, the paper is from the pad of the house. Like, every bit that came out in 96 and beyond was like, holy fuck. But first I want to talk about the house. And I printed out some pictures for you to look at. It's a giant, like, alpine house. It's, like, you know, very green. It's super, like, I mean, these are pictures from when it went on sale in 2014.
Yeah.
Which was the latest piece of news that I kind of read up on. But it's expansive. It's really nice.
It's like both the first and last place you think a murder would happen.
Exactly. And it's almost like McMansion-y in a way, but it's kind of like, it's like beautiful and ugly. Like, the rooms have, you know, there's exposed brick on the inside of a house where you're like, why is this brick exposed in here? This doesn't make any sense. There's carpet on the ground, but there's exposed brick up here. Like, there are things just like didn't make sense, and it's just cavernous. And the idea also of being a kid and staying in this house and like just wandering around, your parents are like in a different part of it. I mean, that's essentially like what kind of happened, depending on who you're talking to. But first I want to get into the Ramseys, and I'm going to get into the house, and then we're going to keep fucking going.
We're not
going
to stop.
We'll never stop.
Well,
I said that a couple times today.
Yeah.
Is it old yet or
no? No. We'll eventually stop.
That's fair. So John Ramsey was born in 1943 in Lincoln, Nebraska, and he graduated from Michigan State. He joined the Navy. He was a civil engineer. He worked in the Philippines. He was like so like baller from the start. He was just like dude sought after. But like weird things followed him too, which is also kind of a theme of this, like tragedy and strange intersections of different murders and tragedies. But I digress. So he first married his college girlfriend, and they got divorced. They had three children. One of them died in a car crash when she was 22. So that had already been like a huge trauma in his life. And actually, JonBenet Ramsey is buried next to this woman in Atlanta.
It would be her half-sister?
Okay. Yeah. So he already had to deal with that. But in 1989, he formed the Advanced Product Group, which was one of three companies that became Access Graphics that like merged and then suddenly was bought by Lockheed Martin. So he had his like a ton of money all of a sudden. Patsy Ramsey, Patricia, graduated from high school. She went to Western Virginia University. She was in a sorority. She won the Miss West Virginia Beauty Pageant title at 20, got her degree in journalism, and then at 23 met John Ramsey, and they got married like very soon after that. So they kind of, I couldn't find out exactly where they met, but it was like his second marriage. He was like an older, like wealthy dude, and she was this 23-year-old beauty queen. So already kind of a interesting dynamic, not, you know, unknown to our culture. They had their first kid, their son Burke, on January 27th, 1987. And then 3 years later, on August 6th, 1990, there was JonBenet. And the first weird thing that I think everyone thinks about is like the portmanteau of like John and Benet, which is John Ramsey's first and middle name, John Bennett. But it's like, let's name our little girl this.
Yeah.
To like her father's first and middle name and like let her live her life.
Yeah.
You know? It's like Britney Spears' sister, Jamie Lynn.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's like my dad's name and my mom's name.
Yeah.
It's going to be my name now.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels very like weird.
Non-individual, lack of individuality, maybe. Like, it's a lot of imposing, maybe.
Yeah, it's also like expectation and like reverence.
We already have the same last name.
Like, I know, we already, like, how much do you want of me? So that's always a thing that like struck me as pretty creepy. So 6 years go by. They move in 1991 to Boulder, where the Access Graphics headquarters is located. The Ramseys purchased their 7,240 square foot 15-room Tudor-style house at 755 15th Street for $500,000. 1991, pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Pretty good deal, according to the Boulder County Record. So they're in this giant cavernous home. Everything is, like, pretty chill until December 25th, where John and Patsy Ramsey say they last saw their 6-year-old daughter alive at bedtime and their 9-year-old son, Burke, kind of around the same time. They're, like, both going to bed. At 5:30 a.m. on December 26th, 1986, Patsy realizes that her daughter was missing after she found a 2.5-page handwritten ransom note on the kitchen staircase. The note demanded $118,000 for the child's safe return.
Which is very specific.
Yeah. Well, it's almost the exact value of the bonus her husband had received earlier this year. Yes. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Already like, what is happening? Yeah. You know, I wish I could have found more about Christmas though. Like, what does JonBenet get for, like, what do rich parents, like, did they get like the dopest toys kind of a thing?
Or like high yield bonds.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like some investments in their name kind of a thing. I don't know. I couldn't find out. There's not a lot of pictures too of how the house looked like, as you might imagine, like at that time. Like I was like dying to see JonBenet's room. There's some good documentaries out there too that kind of illustrate.
Yeah, as time has gone on, there's always a lot of revisiting. In the interviews, and you rewatch them.
We love it. I mean, we love this because there's so many weird things about it. Yeah. You know. So JonBenet also, like I didn't mention this, she had won a bunch of titles as a child beauty pageant queen. Her mom was her coach, obviously. Like tale as old as time. Kind of like a drop dead gorgeous style. Like it's like a caricature of what, you know, like who thought that things wouldn't go wrong kind of a thing, you know?
It's a celebrity, it's unsolved celebrity crime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's automatically, it checks off a bunch of boxes that Americans in the world and news, I mean, it's just perfect for that.
Exactly. And have you seen footage of JonBenet Ramsey?
I just recently, maybe in the last year, was watching, I was really interested in watching the interviews with the mother and father.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole, like, there's so many, like, I went down, like,
the brother.
Wormhole. The brother, it's all so fucked up. Like, it's so, it is such a weird dynamic. This house, too, also reminded me of the house on the staircase, kind of. Where it's like, I know it's in a different part of the country, but it's like a giant house, like, very, like, rustic Tudor style. It's like, who knows what fucking happens in there, you know? And this house also plays a big part in the murder, whatever people theorize to have happened, because it's like, it kept her kind of mysterious. It kept we'll get there. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself and I don't want to do that.
Yeah. You want to pace yourself.
Secrets, but I'm so excited. Okay, so back to the ransom note. It was unusually long, and I read it too, and it's like pretty boring, honestly. Like, it's kind of like a fucking dumb, boring, like, not like, we're not talking clippings of letters. We're just talking general handwriting.
Yeah.
And a pad.
Minimalistic.
Yeah, like, not like super mean. You know, like, it was just like, can you deliver this money and 100% she'll live? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What are we fucking doing? Nothing good, it seems. So basically, the ransom note was really long, and the FBI told the police that it was very unusual for a note to be written at the crime scene like that. The police believed that the note was staged because it didn't have any fingerprints and included an unusual use of exclamation marks and acronyms.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's like 100%, like, and I don't know if I totally agree with this. There weren't a ton of exclamation marks, but it was, again, kind of friendly, kind of boring.
Yeah.
No intimidation factor.
I'm always interested in, like, handwriting analysis from a psychological point of view.
Totally.
What all that means.
The note and a practice draft were written with a pen and pad of paper from the Ramsey home. According to a Colorado Bureau of Investigation report, there are indications that the author of the ransom note is Patricia Ramsey. However, they couldn't prove it. And that's a huge theme of this, too. It's like, all these things point to this, but we can't fucking prove it.
Yeah. There's a lot of theories going on.
Yeah, a lot of paths.
I was just talking to my wife, Michelle. She's, I watched it with her. She's very, 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 very into this case.
Yeah.
And she's super familiar in the theories that are kind of going on right now. I don't know if this is her exact one, but she has a kind of like a working theory.
Oh, fuck. Well, she's right into us.
I'll be
Michelle.
By proxy, I'll be
ghosttownpod at Gmail.
Yeah.
So the only people known to be in the house on the night of JonBenet's death was her immediate family, Burke, her brother, Patsy, and John. The ransom note contained specific instructions that the police and friends should not be contacted, but Patsy telephoned the police at 5:52 a.m. She called her family or friends. Everyone knew. She put it on Facebook. She sent out a couple tweets.
So interesting.
Yes, guy writing.
What did she put? Was it on Facebook?
No, no.
Oh, okay. Because I was like,
no, it's not. It didn't exist.
Because I was like, yeah, Facebook. Interesting, though, when how, like, you know, unfortunately, crime like this will, somebody will be putting it on Facebook, and that will become part of like the evidence of something or something. Yeah.
No, it's very true, and just the way that the law is changing because of email, because of social media, is really fascinating too. Yeah. I would love to talk to someone about that. When I worked on an investigation discovery show, that was like, we did a couple episodes of kind of more contemporary things. Like, for example, oh my God, I forget her, Gypsy.
Gypsy Rose?
Yeah. And how, like, she posted on Facebook when she was essentially telling the world that her mom died.
Yeah.
Gypsy Rose Blanchard, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a huge part. Like, Facebook played a huge part in this murder, which is so surreal nowadays. Yeah. Not in this murder net, though. No.
Okay. Well, you know, let's take a little break.
Okay.
Yeah, let's take a little break and we'll come right back.
I'm gonna get some water.
Yeah, you get some water and we'll get back into this.
Sounds good.
Ooh.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back, and I know everyone's very upset because we haven't mentioned the Patreon.
Yeah, and they do, and our pizza's not here yet.
Yeah,
and I'm very
pizza's not here
hungry.
Yet, and we haven't mentioned the Patreon, but we get two bonus episodes a month.
Yeah,
and there's another tier where you can get mentioned on an episode, and you can mention maybe a website, or if you have a podcast, this is a great place to do whatever it is. Could be anything, could be nothing.
Yeah,
it's patreon.com/ghosttownpod to help support the show.
Help support us.
We can do things
it's
on location.
It's Christmas.
Yeah, come on.
It's Christmas.
Yeah, it is Christmas. What are you... We're in the Christmas kind of zone here.
We're in Christmas zone.
Yeah, what are you... Before we get into...
Before we get back to it. Let's emphasize that this is a Christmas ep.
Yeah, so...
Christmas
you
themed.
You have to hear what we are also doing.
We had some Christmas pizza with pineapple and mushrooms.
Yeah. Now you know I don't like olives.
Now you know, you guys.
Yeah.
Out on the airwaves.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing anything for Christmas, which I love. I love being in LA over Christmas. Because first of all, this is like a very work obsessed town, but when you're here over Christmas, nobody is here. It's like pretty emptied out. And then the people who are here are in this like weird headspace of like, whatever.
It's like but there's also like a lot of reflection, I imagine.
Whatever. Yeah. Or just like, you got a party to go. Like, I got to do something. Like, I think everyone's like so eager to like hang out or just like do an activity. It's great.
And it's also, it's the end of the year. People are probably thinking a little bit like, what have I done this year?
Mm-hmm. I had a Christmas party last year, and a guy I went on one date with, I invited him. I knew him through friends, but I invited him if he wanted to come to my Christmas party and like bring some friends or whatever. He was the first person there. He was wearing a Santa hat. He brought a big thing of tequila that he finished himself, and he was the last guy to leave. This is a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. Did anything kind of come from that?
The last text he sent me was... He was like, I want to cook you. You're so interesting. I want to cook you a chicken dinner. Yes or no? And then he sent me the emoji of, you guys can't see this, but it's like two arms, like making an X. What do you think that means?
I don't know.
Never heard from him again.
I would like it if he ended it, though. He's like, you're really interesting. I want to cook you. And just stop.
That'd be, I'd be like, interesting.
Yeah, that'd be like, ooh, dangerous.
You're interesting too.
Yeah. This is a little, it's not so fun fact. I've been in, living in California at least, most of it in LA, for about 14 years. Aside from one other year, this will be the only other year that I have not gone back to New York/New Jersey.
Oh, what are you doing?
Las Vegas, baby.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Vegas. Yeah. Rat Pack.
Well, that's where Michelle went to Las Vegas last year, and then I actually flew back from New York and met her in Las Vegas. But traveling to New York when you have like a family that's like a big family and everyone's all over the place, it's just a lot of shuffling around. I got actually a real, you know, it was food poisoning or a really bad flu. It was like out for 2 days. Ugh. And I'm just getting too old and tired. It was... Just had like a long trip in Europe. I don't really feel like getting on another plane.
Yeah.
So this will be kind of interesting. But I think
actually it's gonna be pretty fun. I think.
Yeah, I think the thing about tradition, like, oh, but this is what I do. Even though I want to physically be there, I just don't want to. You know, besides the fact that it's cold, but everyone's running around. Like, no one has like time for me.
Yeah.
And I'm very demanding.
Yeah. You need a place that will give you the attention you deserve, which is Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, just some kind of Christmas-themed slot machines.
Yeah, slot machines, buffets, like, you know, like, the people there, it's going to be an interesting crew, too.
Yeah.
You have to report back because, man, it's going to be, a bunch of people, like, down in their luck. A lot of divorced dads, just fucking shooting the shit, seeing what they find.
You know, it's funny you talk about divorced dads, and I don't want to tease too much, but a bonus episode that is Patreon only is going to reference divorced dads. Letting you know right now, Rebecca.
And if it doesn't yet, we'll make sure it does.
We're working in there.
We're working in because we make promises that we keep here at Ghost Town.
It's divorced dads is kind of like the focus of this bonus episode. So patreon.com/
Also, if there's any single divorced dads that listen to the podcast, I mean, I'm interested.
Yes.
You were responsible.
You don't have to be divorced.
Point.
You don't really.
Yeah,
if you think about
be a
it.
Dad, divorced dad, not a dad.
Dad, not divorced.
Married dad.
Dad, not.
I don't care.
You don't have to.
Really?
You don't
come
even
to my Christmas party.
You don't even have to be anything. You could just be an idea.
Come as you are.
Yeah. Just like, how about just be a concept?
Yeah.
The concept of, I don't know, everlasting life. The concept of happiness.
Yeah, it's youth in society.
Yeah.
I don't know. Be a term paper. I don't
It doesn't
care.
Matter. You're
I don't care.
The point is, wear a Santa hat and bring a thing of
tequila. Yeah, chain smoking.
How
as well.
Just before we get into it, we're gonna get into it.
We're gonna get into it.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
Come on.
In my whiny Jewish, it's Christmas.
Yeah. Like, yeah, two Jews letting you know that it's Christmas, everybody.
It's our Christmas episode.
We want to cash in on Christmas,
yeah,
please.
We like that too. We like commerce. We do Hanukkah shit.
Yeah.
Hanukkah too. I hate Hanukkah parties. I just want to say quickly.
How you go to?
I've gone to a couple. It's just like everyone. Okay, I like a latke.
Yeah.
But like you go to a Hanukkah party, it's so hot because people are frying things for 4 hours.
Oh,
and you're sitting here playing a dreidel. You're eating shitty chocolate gelt.
Wow.
You give me a Christmas party with some eggnog any day.
Yeah.
Well, what were you going to say?
I don't know. I don't know what I was going to even get into.
Patreon?
No, we already talked about the Patreon.
Okay.
I'm good.
More
I'm good.
Patreon?
No, I'm good. I got it.
All
no,
right.
Yeah, I mean we're two Jews that want to let you know about Christmas, and we want to cash in on that too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for
let
that.
Let us help us know us.
Yeah, help us not help you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, should I get back to it or what?
Let's get back to it.
All right, let's get back to it
because I'm really actually I'm pretty excited about this.
Exactly. So they couldn't prove the ransom note was Patsy Ramsey. The only people in the house were the family, right? She telephones everybody. The officers searched the house, but didn't find any sign of forced entry, right?
Important.
Very important, right? So Officer Rick French, and this is very strange.
Cool name.
Rick French, right? Just like he's there. He probably does like really well with the Colorado ladies.
Yeah.
Like there's like a fun hotel bar that he meets women.
Ricky French.
Right? Hey.
Son of
I'm meeting
a gun.
Ricky. Yeah. For a flirtini.
Ooh.
Ooh, exactly. So he went to the basement, which we'll put a picture up of the basement. I talked about it. There's a lot of exposed stones. And it's a very large finished basement. And came to a door that was secured by a wooden latch. He paused for a moment in front of the door, but then just walked the fuck away from it. He was like, this is clear. This is secure.
Yeah. Based on what? Intuition?
Just go check some other shit, I guess. And I assume when police are canvassing a place for a murder victim or evidence, like you check everything. I know it's a big house and you got to get home so you can go to happy hour with your best lady. But like,
but I wonder, like, it was Rick French, was the mm-hmm. Colorado police, were they equipped to mm-hmm. investigate a murder like
well,
this?
Well, that is always a theme of these things, too. No. The answer is no.
Yeah.
So many things are tampered with. We'll get into that soon. But the same thing with, like, making a murder. The police, they're usually just, like, hanging out, giving people parking tickets, dealing with bylaws. They're not used to a giant national scale murder. Like what
of
this
a wealthy, prominent family, which probably, I'm sure there's got to be a tiny bit of red tape going around. Like
right.
A tiny bit of like hey,
don't
listen,
bother us. It's Christmas. Like, it's a distraught family.
You know, we donate to the police fund. I don't know.
Exactly. So eventually the Ramsey's like, we're going to pay the ransom, right? A forensics team came to the house. They initially believed that JonBenet had been kidnapped because they couldn't find her, even though they didn't check the whole of the house. So, okay. So JonBenet's bedroom was the only room in the house that was cordoned off to prevent contamination of evidence. The only room of this giant house.
Yeah.
That's it. So like, even then, no process was taken to prevent any contamination of evidence anywhere else. Who knows what was happening? Who's gummy little fingerprints? Burke's fucking, who the fuck knows? Meanwhile, friends and family's minister arrived at the home to support the Ramseys. Victim advocates also arrived at the scene. Visitors picked up and cleaned the surfaces of the kid. They were like, we're just helping out. We're just like, they're like going like tromping through the house, cleaning things, making things in the oven. They were like, we're here to help. And nobody, the police were like, okay, yeah. Make this rich family at home. Instead of being like, no, everybody get the fuck out.
Right.
This isn't like a community, like a meeting center.
And
it's a crime scene.
This is like relatively recently. I mean, even if you watch a procedural or watch any, like you would say, like that would be your, at least your instinct.
Yeah. Another detective, Linda Arndt, arrived at about 8 a.m. with the goal of awaiting the kidnapper's instructions, but there was never an attempt to claim the money. The money just kind of gets like falls to the wayside a little bit, right? So at 1 p.m., so this, again, it's been like 7, 8 hours. Detective Arndt asked John and a family friend to see if the house, just if anything was amiss. So like, possible murderer and your best friend, why don't you just like, I'll look around. Just check shit out. Just see if we missed anything. Yeah. You know, the casserole's in the oven. There's 40 people in the living room. But like, just check it out. Just see. So John and his friend Fleet White started their search in the basement. Interestingly enough, they didn't start in her room. John finally opened the latch door that Officer French had failed to open and found his daughter's body in one of the rooms. And again, it was still pretty cavernous. It was they describe it as a wine cellar. It's not really like it is, but it's just more of like a malt, still like a multi-purpose finished basement. JonBenet's mouth was covered with duct tape. A nylon cord was found around her wrists and neck. Her torso was covered by a white blanket. The autopsy revealed that she had been killed by strangulation and a skull fracture. There was no evidence of rape, although sexual assault could not be ruled out. There was no semen found, but there had been a vaginal injury at the time of the autopsy?
I don't know, you're like going to have to say it a bunch of times, so know, get exactly, used to it.
It appeared her vaginal area had been wiped with a cloth. Her death was ruled a homicide. So basically, it was like she was wrapped in nylon cord and a broken handle of a paintbrush was tied around her neck and had been used to strangle
like
her.
Like a tourniquet type
thing? Yeah, like a tourniquet, like a whatever. Part of the bristle end of the paintbrush was found in a tub containing Patsy's art supplies, but the bottom third of it was never found despite extensive searching of the house by police in subsequent days. So it's like, now the police are on it. Okay. It's also like, how many things of the family do you need to implicate the family?
And also, statistically, it's the family.
Yeah.
Even like, if it's not, statistically,
it's like
the family.
Occam's razor. Like, yes, what is the easiest explanation? Even though, again, they rich people in this country have it. This is going to be revolutionary. Rich people in this country have it easy. They don't often...
That's just
have to be hold
you have,
accountable. This is a fringe Reddit theory I read in all caps.
I also think the 90s were kind of like rich people getting away with things.
Oh, yeah. Rich people, it was like cool to be rich in the 90s. Like, in the 90s, it's like pop collar. Like, you want to seem rich. Yeah. You know, it's not like now it's like
OJ.
Cool to, exactly.
A few years before was, you know.
Exactly. You're like, you're always like nightclub, yuppie shit. It was still like pretty prevalent at this part of time in history. So there was that weird paintbrush shit. The autopsy, got it right this time.
Nice.
Don't make me say it again, though. Also revealed a vegetable or fruit material which may represent pineapple. They're like, it may be pineapple. It may not be pineapple, but it was probably pineapple, which JonBenet had eaten a few hours before her death. Photographs of the home taken on the day when JonBenet's body was found show a bowl of pineapple on the kitchen table with a spoon in it. Bingo. However, both John and Patsy said they didn't remember putting the bowl on the table or feeding her any fucking pineapple.
So, and that would be middle of the night pineapple.
Yeah, that's like post-Christmas. What Christmas treat do you want, little girl?
I'll have it a little bowl
I'll
of
have
pineapple.
A canned pineapple.
So is it like, was she woken up in the middle of the night and says, hey, you want to have some pineapple?
Yeah, well, Burke Ramsey's fingerprints were on the bowl. So there's a little something. But yeah, who the fuck knows? Is it a Christmas ritual? Like, yeah, late night pineapple? Is that a thing? The Ramseys have always maintained that Burke slept through the whole thing until he was awakened several hours later after the police arrived. Do you believe that? Later, they found DNA belonging to an unknown male person on JonBenet's body, but the sample didn't match any profile in the database. In October 2016, new forensic analysis revealed that the original DNA was actually two people, not just one person. But they still don't know who that is. So DNA has failed us. Time and time again.
Well, it seemed like probably if you had to do it all over again, they probably should have done it a lot differently.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not fair. DNA has not failed us. Yeah. I mean, the system has failed us, and DNA is a helpful
the
tool if you use it correctly.
The competency level seems to be pretty low.
Yeah. But the most important and most critical error of all of this was that when John Ramsey found his dead daughter's body wrapped in a blanket, he picked it up and brought her upstairs. It's just like the most important area, this crime scene, he was just like, come on, let's go.
Well, I mean, like, how about this with a little I'm just gonna throw little things at you. What about being like, well, let me put my fingerprints and DNA on her. You
so
see
you
me
know.
Doing that.
Yeah.
To,
it's no, just, absolutely.
You know, it's...
It's very obvious, you know? And also, again, the idea of a police person, an investigator being like, hey, potential criminal, and best friend, why don't you just canvas the house one last time? Like, they shouldn't have been anywhere near the house, really. They should have been taken elsewhere. The house, the whole house should have been, like, alone for investigators to investigate, forensics people to go
and
through.
Who doesn't want to go into a locked door?
Yeah.
It's the probably the most basic.
Everything in your career leads up to this.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What was it? Do you have any theories about that? Is Michelle?
I haven't talked specifically about that. I either imagine it's incompetency. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, I don't think police officers want it to be bad. You know, nobody wants it to be bad, but I don't think they want the spotlight of an unsolved, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thing on them. And maybe it's, listen, if you go there, you walk in there and you don't open it, you have a feeling. Either there's nothing behind there or there's something behind there. And for the same reason, you do not open that door.
Exactly. Exactly. So the Ramseys provided handwriting, blood, hair samples to the police. They had a preliminary interview for more than 2 hours. Burke was interviewed as well, and like nothing was found conclusive. It is, interestingly enough, the last night they would ever spend in the house again. So on January 1st, the Ramseys grant an exclusive interview to CNN where Patsy famously said, "A killer's on the loose." And this is something that is so interestingly dissected too. Seeing the two parents and their dynamics, there's so many theories on this interview, on the way each of them kind of play a part, each of them react, the reaction, the non-reaction. It's really, really fascinating. On January 3rd, investigators announced the note was torn from a tablet of paper in the house. JonBenet has her funeral in Atlanta, and the Ramseys come back to Colorado. In April, John and Patsy are the focus of the investigation, and Patsy Ramsey is interrogated for 6.5 hours. Which is like also, yeah, I know that's a long time, but like your daughter is dead.
And wouldn't you want to do anything you can to help?
Yeah, exactly. John is interrogated for 2 hours. And after this, there's so much pushback because Patsy's like, "I already did this big interview," kind of a thing. Like there's so much of them not wanting to be interviewed after this that it's like, what the, so you spent half a day trying to get your daughter's killer. I'm sorry, we are inconveniencing you again. No, please proceed. I'm sorry. Yeah. Kind of a thing. There's a big grand jury case which goes underway. And in February 1998, a group of investigators buy the house for $650,000, pledging to resell it and donate the profits to the JonBenet Ramsey Children's Foundation. The address is changed to 749 15th Street in 2001 at the request of a tenant who is negotiating to buy the home. Who lives in this home? Who wants to be here? I don't know.
We want to go there.
I want to go there. Yeah, I don't want to I'm in and out though, you know?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? So a grand jury was convened September 15th, 1998. So it's almost been a year to consider indicting the Ramseys for charges related to the case. In 1999, the grand jury returned a true bill to charge the Ramseys with placing a child at risk in a way that led to her death and with obstructing an investigation of murder, definitely, based on probable cause, standard applied in such a grand jury proceedings. But basically, they didn't prosecute them because they couldn't prove their guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. So it kind of like it was like off and on and off and on in 2002, 2003. And that the evidence in the case was said to be more consistent with the theory that an intruder murdered JonBenet than it was with the theory that Mrs. Ramsey did. And she was really the focus on, for the most part, the prime suspect of the family, which is interesting, too, because we'll talk about the CBS thing, and it wasn't like that at all. So speaking of the house again, in 1999 to 2001, E.J. Doc Kreiss, the University of Colorado's speed, strength, and conditioning coach, rents the house before being fired and moving to California. This house is for a down and out kind of a person. They changed the address in 2001. In 2004, popular televangelist Tim and Carol Milner buy the house for $1.05 million. It's appreciating in value.
Yeah.
You know? I get that inflation is happening. July 2008, the house is listed for $2.68 million. In 2009, $2.29. We're going back down. $2.29 million. February 2011, $2.3 million. And then finally, 2014 is the last time it was put on the market for $1.98 million. Now, Patsy dies of ovarian cancer in 2006 at age 49. Very tragic. And the Ramseys were officially clear due to insufficient evidence in 2008. But after... Okay, and I'm sure you know this. This is like so fucking bizarre. after John Ramsey's wife, Patsy, dies, he meets Beth Holloway while attending a fundraiser. And the two, like, begin dating. And Beth Holloway is the mother of Natalie Holloway, the Alabama student who disappeared in 2005 on her trip to Aruba.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember this? Ramsey downplayed their relationship, saying that they developed a friendship of respect and admiration out of common interest related to their children. So this also reminds me of The Staircase, the guy from that, where it's like crime and like sadness and heartbreak. Yeah. Like he keeps finding that. Like I are attracting them or something.
I mean, I understand that, you know, you want to somebody that gets you.
Yeah. Well, it's like Shania Twain married her. You're this one. So Shania Twain was married to whatever her husband, music producer.
Mutt Lang.
Yeah. And he had an affair with this woman, and Shania Twain married her husband.
Oh, so just like I
still the one is still a great song though.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, yeah. Listen, that don't impress me much. You know what I mean? That's my jam.
Oh yeah.
No, mine's yeah, that one that I like doesn't impress me much. Yeah.
Yeah. So I get that like people in grief and these things are so larger than life that you'd find consolation with someone else who's experienced it, but you don't have to like date them.
It's it just reeks of conspiracy.
It's
you
so
know?
Weird. But he didn't marry her. He married a third wife in 2011. He also...
And she didn't maybe murder anybody.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Who knows? I mean, they still have time. They're still both alive.
Yeah.
We'll see. So it was investigated on and off, still the case, in September 2016. And then in 2017, last year, CBS did a special that featured full-scale replicas of the home, which are really crazy, and they must have spent so much money. But did you see this special?
No, I
bet
one.
Michelle did. Holy shit. It's like they do so much shit and it's like inconclusive kind of a thing. And they heavily implicate Burke and then their parents kind of covering it up.
And Burke is the son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his like violent tendencies.
Well, that's what Michelle was like talking. So the son that, you know, was obviously very, very violent. And they're covering it up for, they're like, well, we already lost, you know, our daughter. Are we gonna, I mean, that's classic in TV shows and procedurals and movies. Yeah. It's like parents covering up for with their child. Because they're like, well, now we're going to lose both of them.
Yeah.
Is that justice? You know what I mean?
I get, but it's also like your life is going to be destroyed anyway. And he was young enough where even if they were like, came clean about it, if that were the case, like, it's not like he would have gone to jail for the rest of his life. Also, they were very rich people. They could have
they could have
interesting choice, Ramsey's, if that's the case. But they're both, Burke Ramsey and John Ramsey sued CBS for like millions of hundreds of dollars because of it, because of they so heavily did that. And I did a little recon on Burke. He's got a girlfriend. He works from home. He has like a chill, like kind of office coordinating job since his early 30s. Just living his life.
Yeah. I just wonder. I mean, I don't like, does if he did do it and you do have that tendency, do you grow up with that, you know, being like, you know, talking about being a sociopath or whatever that is? Do you just grow up being like, I can live with it? You know, I can live with this.
Well, I don't know, like, I'm sure the statute of limitations.
He was 8. Yeah.
Are that like if he were to confess, he would get investigated for sure. Like it's not like it's like 40 years later kind of a thing. But I feel like if you're that young and you've committed a murder, you don't really remember it. Like your parents probably told you didn't do it, kind of a thing. I think there's a lot of things at play that would convince you, which is good, like mercifully for your life that you didn't do that. But again, like what is the truth? And it's, you know, this poor girl is killed,
your working theory, or what would you think of this situation? Do you think he just say hit her in the head with a frying pan, knocked her out, and then the parents came in and did like added all the other bells and whistles, the tying her up, the choking, you know, adding all
like
that other stuff,
like
post.
The vaginal shit.
I mean, and then obviously, you know, the note and, I mean, I guess that, you know, that would make people think like, well, who else knew he got that 118,000?
110 or something.
Something. Yeah. Who knew who got, is this somebody from his work that was jealous, you know? And what is the, I mean, you know, obviously reality TV had, you know, us obsessed with, I say the royal us, mm-hmm. obsessed with pageants, pageant moms,
yeah.
momagers, stage moms, stage dads, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Just like a beautiful, like living doll child gets brutally murdered.
And what is it, what is it, what is it to be the mother, mm-hmm. if the mother is, what is it to be the mother of that child? Does that change, like do you, like when you're putting so much money, time, mm-hmm. Yourself, you know, yeah. Past like failures into, mm-hmm. And trying to make it right second time around.
Yeah.
Does that, what place does that bring you to?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard. And I honestly, I don't know if I believe. Okay. So we talk about the pineapple. She was found in this cellar area. Like, I think, I mean, the parents, I know, like I think beyond a cover up, the parents had something to do with it. Cause it's like, I think about my siblings. We were all very violent with each other.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Just, like, brutal.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't go somewhere else to, like, be violent. Like, was she running away? Like, I don't, like, I feel like there's parts of it that even if he did it and they were just covering it up, that, like, still seem questionable to me. Like, I get that he's, like, maybe she was up or that they're, like, let's get some food or something. And he, like, fed her some pineapple. But, like, how did they get halfway across the house?
And was she, I wonder if was she like, hey, you want to, was she woken up to be like, hey, you want to come downstairs at two in the, whatever it was, three in the morning and have some, pineapple?
Yeah.
That
like,
doesn't
what?
Sound very enticing like for weird. even to the weirdest.
Like a little tiny girl to be like, yeah, I guess I'll get up and do this.
Yeah. So was she already mm-hmm. up and something happened? Was she awoken for this to happen?
Yeah, I just don't understand it. But there were some things that I read about Burke and JonBenet's rooms were really close to each other, which also, like, why would you go downstairs to get this and then go somewhere totally elsewhere? Like, the parents woke up, found them. There's a timeline of events that I hope in our lifetime we will find out about this. I'm not sure if we will, but something where it's, like, taking us through all of this and finally explaining it.
I mean, listen, a lot of podcasts have we're not the ones.
No.
Maybe.
We can barely read it off a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I always imagine, like, what if, let's say, all of the, you know, the world and mm-hmm. all the books and information were just decimated and all mm-hmm. that was left was this podcast.
And for
other people to come here and be like, we got to learn about. What was it like to be an mm-hmm. earthling? Mm-hmm. And they base it on...
They still say earthling, though.
Yeah, they say earthling. Earthling. It's the 1950s. Yeah. Like, what is it like to be an earthling?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And they base it all on the information from this podcast.
I guess I would just want to, like, deeply apologize.
They'd be like, what is this Patreon deal?
Like, shut the fuck up about Patreon. We don't... What is money?
Yeah.
So
well, yeah, exactly.
We don't understand.
Yeah. But it is patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Whether you are listening from another planet or you're just listening...
Or here. Or under deep below us in some kind of underground cave. Yeah. Or a wine cellar. I don't know.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience. And they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.